أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له،
وأشهد
أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فقد وصلنا في الحديث عن أحكام الجنائز من كتاب فقه السنة،
from the book of فقه السنة.
وصلنا إلى الحديث عن استحباب إعدام قرابة المتوفى وأصحابهم،
نزلنا في الحديث عن
أحكام الجنائز. فيقول المؤلف رحمه الله استحباب إعلام قرابته وأصحابهم.
Consider it desirable that the deceased family, friends, and other good people be informed about his death, so that they may share in the reward or participate in his funeral.
حتى يأتوا ويشهدوا جنازته ويصلوا عليه ويشاركوا في دفنه.
So the purpose of this
is to
give them the opportunity.
وأصدقائي استحب العلماء
to give them the opportunity to come and participate and get some reward by participating in the preparation of the funeral and also in following the funeral to the graveyard.
تتصل يعني بمن تظن أنهم لم يبلغهم خبر الوفاة من معارف المتوفى ومن ممن يعني تعلم أنهم يرغبون في المشاركة في حضور الجنازة.
So it is recommended to inform those people, to inform anyone that
من دل على هدى فإن له حضور من تبعه، فأنت يعني تدل على هدى وترشد إلى خير، تحسن الناس على شهور صلاة تكون مشاركة. قال لما رواه الجماعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعى للناس النجاشية في اليوم الذي مات فيه، وخرج به إلى المصلى فصفق أصحابه وكبر عليه
أربعة. النبي
صلى الله عليه وسلم نعى للناس النجاشية في اليوم الذي مات فيه.
And then the Prophet led them to the prayer, led them to the prayer ground where he lined up, where he lined them up and offered funeral prayer for him with four takbir.
صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أخا له صالحا من الحبشة.
How did the Prophet tell his companions about
أو كما قال النجاشي بهذا
المعنى؟ The Prophet ﷺ just told the companions that one of our brothers has passed away
in Abyssinia
or something to that effect.
النجاشي كما أخبرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So just to inform people that someone, a Muslim like us, a brother of ours. Whose name is such and such, for example, if the name is known, then just announce the death of that person. So the Prophet ﷺ offered the funeral prayer on Najashi, even though Najashi passed away in Abyssinia.
The Prophet ﷺ was in Medina. وجعفر وابن رواحة.
أحمد البخاري narrated from Anas that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed the people about the death of his companions Zayd, Ja'far, and Ibn Rawaha, commanders of the Muslim army in the battle of
Mu'tah,
before they received any news from the battlefield, because the Prophet
صلى الله عليه وسلم علم بوفاة هؤلاء.
The Prophet ﷺ received the news of their martyrdom, their death, before anybody else. So the Prophet ﷺ told the companions about the death of those three people, those three commanders. So he informed the commander of their death.
قبل أن يأتي الخبر يعني كان لسه في نفس يوم المعركة معركة في مؤتة والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة.
And you know that the battle of Mu'tah took place.
قالت تلميذه لا بأس بأن يعلم الرجل قرابته وإخوانه بموت الشخص.
Which is over 1,000 miles away from Medina. But the Prophet ﷺ, of course, had the news of their death instantly because of
that battle
actually was shown to the Prophet ﷺ that he was watching it through the angels. So he knew everything that was going on there, and he told the companions of the death of those commanders.
على إيه أبواب المساجد يقول الشخص وصيح وكذا وينادي في أبواب المساجد
Tirmidhi observes that there is no harm in informing the family and close relations of the deceased person about his death. Al-Bayhaqi says he was told that Malik ibn Anas disliked announcing someone's death at the gates of the mosque, but found nothing wrong was going around inside the mosque to the various groups of students and informing them of someone's death. So just making a loud announcement at the gate of the mosque is something that was disliked by Malik. However, informing individual groups in person is something that is recommended. Why did Imam Malik dislike announcing someone's death by shouting aloud? Considered that to be a form of weeping which is forbidden by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
هكذا قال يعني عن حذيفة رضي الله عنه قال إذا مت فلا تؤذني بي أحدا.
A report recorded by Ahmad and Tirmidhi in the authority of Hudhayfa says that Hudhayfa said, when I pass away, let no one vex me, for I am afraid my death will be announced and it may be regarded as an invitation to mourning.
وإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
and I heard that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade announcing the death of a person as an invitation to mourn.
قال فإنه محمول على الذي كانت الجاهلية تفعله.
This refers to a practice of the pre-Islamic period. In those days, when a noble died, they sent the horseman to various tribes to inform them about his death, saying, the people are devastated on account of the death of so and so. Such an announcement was always accompanied by crying and weeping. So this is how we distinguish between what Hudhayfa said and what and the practice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The practice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was to inform the people, but Hudhayfa was afraid that he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade the announcement in a way that invites mourning, because he did not want it to be like the practice that was before Islam.
وكان يتكلمون يعني بعبارات يعني حتى هذا النعي الجاهلي كان يشتمل على عبارات فيها يعني تسخط
so
على قدر
the simple announcement of the death of a person is there's nothing wrong with that, but if it invites mourning or if it invites crying and weeping over that person, this is the thing that is forbidden.
كان كذا وكذا ويستعملون النعي هذا كنوع من المفاخرة. فإذا يعني مما يشبه الصورة المنهي عنها ما يكون من يعني من باب المفاخرات التي تقع في الجرائد يعني الآن مثلا صفحات الوفيات في الجرائد وكذا. فإذا كان يعني فقط الغرض يعني إخبار بوفاة المتوفى عبارات يعني قليلة يقال مثلا فيها توفي يوم فلان الفلاني والجنازة في الساعة الفلانية وكذا وبخط الصغير المعتاد أو كذا، هذا يكون من قبيل النعي الجائز. لكن النعي الذي فيه المفاخرة هذا الذي يكون في قبيل النعي الجائز.
So the to stay away from the pre-Islamic practice of mourning, crying and weeping, and also boasting the dead person, the deceased, starting to praise him and to boast about him and about his genealogy and his social status and so on and so forth. So this is something that is not that is forbidden actually. How is the simple announcement of ones that as we said that there is no harm in that and it is actually recommended.
فهذا يكون يعني من النعي. فإذا المقصود النعي الذي لا مبالغة فيه والذي هو بغرض يعني إعلام من يهمهم الأمر ويرغبون في الجنازة
ويكون
ضجيج وبدون تفاخر ولا
publishing a eulogy about somebody in the newspaper talking about how good a person he was and how generous and how righteous in the practice that we see these days in many places. This is something that is considered like a forbidden mourning.
قال أجمع العلماء على أنه يجوز البكاء على الميت إذا خلا من الصراخ والنوح. أجمع العلماء على أنه يجوز البكاء على الميت
extreme
توفي له قريب أو صديق أو كذا لا بأس أن يبكي عليه، هذا أمر جائز باتفاق العلماء، لكن الشرط أن يخلو من الصراخ والنوح. النوح يأتي بمعنى الصراخ هنا يعني
وال now we move to the topic of weeping over the dead.
يعني تسخط على قدر الله سبحانه وتعالى وكذا مثلا.
Muslim scholars agree that weeping for the dead is permissible, whereas crying and wailing are not.
لا ينبغي أن تنسب إلا إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. It
is reported actually weeping or wailing and crying and wailing is a form of objection to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, weeping is a humane way of showing compassion and showing that one is feels bad for the death or for the passing away of a person. So weeping is something that's permissible as long as it doesn't
develop into crying and
it is reported in a sound hadith that the Prophet said Allah does not punish a person for shedding tears or feeling pain in his heart, but he does punish, though he may show mercy, because of what he utters with this. And then he pointed to his tongue. The Prophet ﷺ said, but he does punish, though he may show mercy, because of what he utters, what one utters with this. And then he pointed to his tongue.
إذا الإنسان توفي له متوفى فقال الحمد لله ما مر ذكره مما ينبغي.
So
أن
if one says anything other than the supplications or the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if one utters anything that shows any discomfort or any objection to Allah's decree, then that is something that
فيتكلم بهذه الكلمات الطيبة التي
الله سبحانه وتعالى punishes
لأمر الله سبحانه وتعالى والثناء على الله عز وجل
والاعتراف
بأن الإنسان راجع إلى ربه سبحانه وتعالى does not punish for. فمثل هذه العبارات الطيبة
The utterance of things that show that, that one is unhappy
يرحم الله تعالى في المقابل قد يعذب الإنسان بسبب الإنسان إذا تلفظ يعني بالكلمات التي فيها التسخط على قدر الله سبحانه يقول وبكى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لموت ابنه إبراهيم وقال إن العين تدمع والقلب يحزن ولا نقول إلا ما يرضي ربنا وإنا بفراقك يا إبراهيم
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
لما توفي ابنه إبراهيم كان عمره
the eyes shed tears and the heart feels pain but we utter only what pleases our Lord.
لما توفي إبراهيم حزن
إبراهيم
صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه بشر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بشر هو رسول وهو بشر في نفس الوقت ف يعني يأتي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني المشاعر التي تأتي
So the Prophet was a human being, just like any other human being in terms of when it comes to
feeling
and
compassion.
So the Prophet was agreed with because of the death of his son Ibrahim. So that he only utters what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that. He said that the eyes shed tears and the heart feels pain, but we utter only what pleases our Lord. Oh Ibrahim, we are aggrieved at your demise. He also wept. The Prophet also wept when his granddaughter Umayma, daughter of Zainab, died. At this,
Sa'd
ibn Ubadah said, O Messenger of Allah, are you weeping? Did you not forbid Zainab from weeping?
The Prophet
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم replied,
وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
إنما هي رحمة
جعلها الله في قلوب عباده وإنما يرحم الله من عباده
And surely Allah bestows mercy upon those who are merciful among His servants. So Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he felt it, he felt that it was
مسموح به
That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had
قال وروى الطبراني عن عبد الله بن زيد قال مخصص البكاء غير نوح فإن كان البكاء بصوت مياحا قال فإن كان البكاء بصوت مياحا كان من أسباب ألمه وتعذيبه
It's a form of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the hearts of His servants. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that those who are merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on them.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى فكيف الميت يعذب ببكاء الحي الحديث يعني كما سيأتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الميت لا يعذب ببكاء الحي طيب كيف الميت يعذب ببكاء الحي
weeping aloud and wailing cause pain and suffering to the dead person كما بين reported from Ibn Umar that when Umar was stabbed and he became unconscious the people around him began crying loud some people mistakenly say that the dead person will be punished or will be tortured for the weeping for the wailing of people on him. But this is actually not correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that no sin will bear the sin of other people, or no person will bear the sin of other people. So how can one be punished for something that other people did? But the Prophet ﷺ said that the deceased will feel the pain, will be in pain for wailing those people who cry and wail on him while he's in the grave. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ wanted to tell us.
يعني قد نهى أهله عن هذا يعني نهى أهله عن هذا وأوصاهم يعني ألا ينوح أحد عليه يعني لا يصيح أحد ولا يلقب الخدود ولا كذا إذا كان ميت يعني أوصاهم بهذا أو كان يعني يعلم من أهله أنهم لا يفعلون هذا وبعدين مما فعلوا شيء يعني بدون إقرار منه وبدون رضا وبدون إذن ففي هذه الحالة لا يكون معذبا ميت لا, 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 لا يكون معذبا في هذه الحالة لأنه لا تزر وزرة وزر أخرى.
However, in another situation, in the situation when the deceased knows that those people or the people, his family will be crying and wailing on him, or if he asks them to do so, that means that this is the case when the deceased will be punished for that, because he is the one who commanded that. But if he knew that his family were going to do such a thing, he asked them not to do so. But still they did it, he wouldn't be punished for that.
رضي الله عنه كان يصلي الناس صلاة الفجر وجاء أبو لؤلؤة المجوسي وطعنه
Again, Umar,
when
Umar was stabbed and he became unconscious, the people around him began crying loudly. When he regained consciousness, he said to them, don't you know that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that a dead person is tormented by the wailing of the living?
قال إن الميت ليعذب ببكاء الحي. فعمر يعني أغمي عليه ثم
عمر فوجدهم يصيحون عليه. The people around him that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had said a dead person is tormented by the wailing of the living, and he got mad at those who were wailing and crying on him.
يعذب الميت قد رضي بهذا أو أمر.
So only if the deceased had.
قالوا عن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه قال لما أصيب عمر جعل سهيل يقول
content for that, and he approved of it. In that case, he would be punished and he would be tormented for that or because of that.
فقال له عمر رضي الله عنه يا سهيل أما علمت أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من نيح عليه فإنه يعذب بما نيح
عليه
قروا هذه الأحاديث
Don't you know that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said a dead person is tormented by the wailing of the living people. So another occasion or another instance when Umar also repeated the same thing to
Suhail. طبعا التفسير الأول الذي ذكرناه هذا هو الأصح اللي هو التفسير يعني أن الميت يعذب بكاء أهله إذا كان الميت قد حثهم على هذا أو أمرهم به فإنه
And المغيرة
تفسير آخر قالوا أن الميت يعذب بكاء أهله يعني إنه ليس المقصود عذاب ولكن المقصود أنه يسوءه هذا يعني يكون إيه متضايقا
Some scholars said that when the Prophet ﷺ said the deceased will be or the dead person will be tormented for the wailing of his of the living, some scholars said that the interpretation of that is what we just said, which is that if he approved of it, then he would be punished for that, he would be tortured for that. But other scholars said no, that that's not. The correct interpretation, but the correct interpretation is that the dead person will be in pain in his grave when because of the way he was living. The first one is a more correct interpretation, because if he was the one who commanded it, who commanded the wailing and crying, then he would be. He would bear the responsibility.
فقد روى ابن جرير عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال إن أعمالكم تعرض على أقربائكم من موتاكم فإن رأوا خيرا فرحوا به وإن رأوا شرا كرهوا. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال
Now المغيرة بن شعبة reported that he heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying the one who is wailed for is tortured on account of it. These hadith mean that a dead person feels pain and displeasure when his family wails over him, for he hears their wailing and their deeds are shown to him. This does not mean that the dead are actually punished and tormented because of the wailing of their families for them, because the Quran says that the person is not accountable for the actions of others. This is the opinion of the author. However, as we said, that if the dead person had really had actually commanded that wailing and crying on him, he would be accountable for their action. Ibn Jarir reported from Abu Hurairah that he said, "Your deeds are shown to your dead relatives. So if these are good, they are pleased, and if these are bad, they despise them."
Ahmad
al-Tirmidhi reported on the authority of Anas that the Prophet said, "Your deeds are shown to your dead relatives and kinsfolk. So if these are good, they are pleased, and if these are bad, they say, 'O Allah, let them not die until you have guided them to the right path as you guided us before.'" So this hadith carries the same meaning as the previous hadith. And Nu'man ibn Bashir reports Abdullah ibn Rawaha fainted, and his sister Amra started wailing, "Oh my monumental loss, oh my this and then when he regained consciousness, he said to her, "Every time you said something about me, I was asked, are you really what she said?" This is narrated by Bukhari.
طبعا هو لم يكن متوفى كان مغمى عليه ف يعني بقدرة الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل الله سبحانه وتعالى ملائكة تقول لعبد الله بن رواحة.
So Abdullah ibn Rawaha, even though he was not dead, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent some angels to tell him about what was being done while he was unconscious. So when he regained consciousness, he told his sister that every time you said something, the angels were, asked me if I was what you said about me.
يعني كلاما غير لائق فيه غلو في المتوفى.
So this might be the case of the dead person, that this might be what happens to the dead person, that if there if his family, the living people, said something that's not true about him, he would be questioned about that. And if he approved of it, then he would be accountable for that, as we said.
كلام محرم وكذا إذا كان حصل بغير رضا المتوفى ولا بأمر منه لا يكون عليه حرج.
And if he would have stopped it, if he had asked the people not to say anything forbidden, then he would not be accountable. Next we move to the topic of wailing. Wailing refers to the mourning in a loud voice and crying in a high pitch, which was prohibited by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
البكاء بالصوت المعتاد هذا لا حرج فيه. مسموح به.
The normal crying, the normal weeping over that person is permissible as we said previously. However, the wailing and which is defined here as mourning in a loud voice and crying in a high pitch. This is something that Abu Malik al-Ash'ari reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, four practices of the pre-Islamic days of ignorance will continue to be practiced by my ummah, taking pride in one's parentage, giving a person a father other than his own genealogical father, believing that man, believing that rain is caused by someone, by some star, and wailing over the dead.
اسم للزمن الذي قبل الإسلام وأهل الجاهلية كان على أخلاق ذميمة وعادات.
So the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith said that his ummah will practice four things that were practiced in the time of jahiliyyah or during the time of ignorance. That's the period before Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ actually he used this word jahiliyyah to describe some people who had some practices of jahiliyyah or practices of from pre-Islamic era. So the Prophet ﷺ said to one person, once you are a person in whom there is some jahiliyyah or some practices from the days of ignorance, so the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be four practices from those days of jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, that will be practiced by, will continue to be practiced by his own.
يعني يكون مع أهل الحق ويكون المسلم يعني معينا لأخيه إن كان ظالما رده على الظلم.
And that's taking pride in one's parentage, meaning that one would side with his relative or with his brother or any of his relatives just because of this tie, not because he is right. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described as the hamiyya or as the support of jahiliyyah, the support similar to that of jahiliyyah. Or loyalty similar to that of jahiliyyah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to support one because he is right, because he is on the right path, regardless of our ties with him, regardless of our blood ties with him, if there is any or not. So if we support someone because just because he is our relative, and if he's not right, then that's a loyalty of jahiliyyah. So that's number one. Number two is giving a person still in the same first one. Also including this is to despise someone because he does not belong to a family or to a tribe of high genealogy. Second one is giving a person a father other than his genealogical father.
الطعن في الأنساب هذا أيضا مما يحمل عليه التفاخر والتحاسد فيكون مثلا إنسان ينتمي إلى أسرة يعني إذا كان مثلا لك عدو ينتمي إلى أسرة شريفة مثلا وإلى قبيلة يعني ذات مكانة وذات وجاهة أو كذا.
This actually can also, this second point can also be tied to the first one, because people sometimes they ridicule somebody by his genealogy or by his parentage, because if they have some quarrel with a person, they would claim that the person is not from a noble tribe or something like that, just to put him down. And also to claim that someone does not belong to his father or someone is from a different father is also another way of ridiculing somebody and defaming him. And that's something that was practiced, and we see some forms of this also even in the present. The third point of the hadith that came in the hadith is believing that rain is caused by some stars. And some, so because this, some people of the Islamic era used to believe that that rain comes when a certain star shows up, or that this, certain stars are responsible for rain, for bringing rain. So the Prophet ﷺ also prophesied that he predicted that even Muslims or even people who belong to his ummah would continue to to believe that that rain comes because of certain stars, or that some stars are the ones responsible for bringing rain. The fourth of those practices is wailing over the dead. And that's, as we said, that's the forbidden.
وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم النائحة إذا لم تتب قبل موتها تقام يوم القيامة وعليها سربال من قطران ودرع من جرد وعليها سربال من قطران ودرع من جرد والسربال هو القميص.
So the Prophet ﷺ, at the end of the hadith, he told us about a professional mourner, somebody who takes mourning as a means of gaining, making a living. And actually, this is not something strange. Actually, there are some people who have such thing as a job, who take this thing as a job. And some people hire those, hire such people to just for mourning. So the Prophet ﷺ said that if that a professional mourner. And usually, most of the time, these are women, of course. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the professional mourner, unless she repents before her death, will be raised on the Day of Judgment wearing a garment of tar and an armor of blistering pus. So this is a very severe and serious warning by the Prophet ﷺ, from the Prophet ﷺ, for those who do this thing on a regular basis, or who wail and show signs of objecting to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Atiyya reports that the Prophet she said the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah made us pledge that we will not wail over the dead. This is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Bazzar has transmitted through a sound chain of authorities the report that the Prophet said, two sounds are occurred in this world and in the hereafter. The sound of a wind instrument, the sound of wind instruments to celebrate good fortune, and of mourning aloud when afflicted with a misfortune.
ورنة عند مصيبة اللي هي الصراخ والصويت يعني.
So the Prophet ﷺ said that two sounds are first in this world and in the hereafter, the sound of a wind, the sound of wind instruments to celebrate good fortune, and of mourning aloud when afflicted with a misfortune.
الغرض يعني من هذا المسلم يعني ينبغي ألا يكون يعني مسرفا في إظهار يعني
so, the point of this hadith is that the Muslim should not be extreme in either case, يعني whether in the
الدنيا
when he's happy, when he's when he wants to show happiness, يعني or when he's sad because of the loss of something.
And
some scholars said that the sound of wind instruments mentioned in the hadith also can include some sounds made by women with their tongue and moving the tongue at a high frequency in their mouth and making a sound, making a very high pitched sound.
جايزة مثلا في قمار وكذا يجيب يعني فجأة يعني مثلا يتوفر
so this is common in some part of the world where women make such a sound when something would happen.
هذا هو يعني من يعني الإفراط في المشاعر الفرح يعني يعني قد يبلغ الفرح بالإنسان والعياذ بالله أنه يعني ربما يهلك ولا يستمتع بالحاجة اللي هي يعني هو فرحان بها فيهلك يعني قبل أن
And actually the funny thing is that some people might even die because of the way they celebrate something good. So we have to keep in mind that whatever we get in this life, if it is good, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be happy, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not to overdo anything. And if something bad happens, then we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember that this is from Him. Even though we can get sad, we can be sad and we can have some sorrow for that, but we should not show anything that might indicate that you are displeased with Allah's decree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said to this meaning that in order that you not regret anything that you have missed and not to rejoice anything that anything good that happens to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of this that verse actually said that anything that happens in this world is actually decreed and it's recorded in a book. And so that if we know that, if we keep this in mind, then we will not act very reasonably when something happens, be it good or bad.
فالمقصود يعني المطلوب من المسلم الاعتدال سواء عند النعمة أو عند المصيبة أن يكون يعني
so what's expected of a Muslim is to be moderate in all cases, in all situations, whether something good or bad happens to him.
قال وفي الصحيحين عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه
أبو موسى is reported to have said
أنا بريء ممن برئ منه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قل أبو موسى
of all that Allah's messenger disavowed.
برئ منه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So Abu Musa just wanted to
برئ من الصادقة والحالقة والشاقة.
Wanted to free himself from anything that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم freed himself from. He said, I declare my disavowal of all that Allah's messenger disavowed. The Messenger of Allah SWT this about publicly a woman who mourns loudly, one who shaves her head, and one who tears her clothes
mourning.
The first of those three things is the wailing one, the woman who mourns loudly. And the second one is the one who shaves her head. And this is another practice that some people used to engage in, which is to shave their head. For a woman to shave her head when something bad happens. And the one and one who tears her clothes in mourning, also that's another practice that the Prophet ﷺ, or that used to be done before Islam, and unfortunately that we see that even these days some people do these things, that they some women they tear their clothes when they are in, when something
happens to them.
Ahmad narrates from Anas that the Prophet made the woman pledge while giving their allegiance to him not to mourn loudly for the dead. Because the Prophet ﷺ knew of those practices before, so when women came to pledge allegiance to embrace Islam, to pledge allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ, because of what he knew about their practices, he made them pledge not to mourn loudly for the dead. Thereupon they asked him, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, some women helped us in mourning our dead during the pre-Islamic days. Should we also in return help them in mourning their dead now that we are Muslims? So this is not fair. They want to reciprocate. those women, when the Prophet ﷺ asked them to pledge not to mourn loudly, they said, well, some women helped us mourn our dead loudly. I mean, so when something happens, they lose someone, can't we go and pay them back for their favors in the pre-Islamic period? So they just wanted to reciprocate if those people, if those women helped us and they mourned, which is something that we are forbidden from doing now. Can't you just go and...
ليست النائحة السكلة كمستأجرة يعني ففي نائحة اللي تيجي متبرعة يعني كده صداقة وفي كان نساء أخريات واستأجرن
So these are just when people want to show their sympathy and to show their feelings with somebody. Actually, there is an adage in Arabic, a proverb that says that the hired mourning, the hired mourner is not like the one who actually lost someone. So if someone is just helping in the mourning, they will not be feeling, they will not have the same feeling as the one who actually did lose a person. So to pay back the favor, and many people these days they do these things, is that when someone helps, then the one who receives the help will want to reciprocate and pay back the favor, return the favor. On a similar occasion, but the Prophet did not approve that when he was asked. When he was asked if those women could return the favor to the other women who helped them in the pre-Islamic time. But having said this does not mean that they cannot go and help them, just be on their side and be at their side to comfort them, as long as one stays away from the forbidden things, from engaging in any forbidden things.
قال الإحداد على الميت الإحداد على الميت
Next topic is mourning قال يجوز للمرأة
يجوز للمرأة أن تحد على قريبها الميت
ثلاثة أيام ما لم يمنعها زوجها
ويحرم عليها أن تحد عليه فوق ذلك إلا إذا كانت تحدث زوجها فيجب عليها أن تحد عليه مدة العدة وهي أربعة أشهر
except in the case of her husband's death when she is to mourn for 4 months and 10 days which is legally prescribed period of waiting
or الإحداد الشرعي يتضمن عدة أشياء. الأمر الأول أن المرأة يعني المحدة لا تخرج لا تبيت إلا في
legitimate mourning
لا تبيت إلا في
include
يعني مسموح لها أن تخرج بالنهار لحوائجها ولكن
for the woman who is in mourning there are certain things that for the mourning to be legitimate according to Islamic religion.
مثل مثلا أن يكون البيت الذي توفي زوجها وهي فيه يكون البيت مثلا بالإيجار.
Number one is not to sleep in any other house other than the one that she used to live in with her husband, with her deceased husband.
Of course,
unless there is a legitimate reason, a legitimate cause to force her not to sleep in that house, such as the house being a rented house, and when her husband died, she had to leave it.
إذا كان عندها عمل بالنهار تعمله يعني لا بأس أن تخرج للعمل إذا كان
So she has to go back and she has to sleep in that house unless there is a legitimate reason not to. And for example, if the woman works, then she can go to work and she has to go back to the house to sleep. The second thing is for the woman not to wear any perfume during the period of mourning.
يعني بس خلال مدة العدة إذا كانت أربعة أشهر وعشرة أيام المحتدة من وفاة زوجها خلال هذه المدة أربعة أشهر وعشرة أيام
there's an exception here
يعني
which is that when
الحيض وكذا ففي
that unless the woman if the woman wants to bathe and to clean herself from menses then that's only in that case she can use she can wear some perfume because when a woman has her period then there is some objectionable smell that emitted. So in that case if a woman is in her period then there is to prevent such an objectionable smell, then she can use perfume, she can use something to fight that smell. Other than that, she is not allowed to use to wear any perfume. Number three is not to wear any jewelry. She has to
والأمر الرابع أنها
stay away from wearing any jewelry.
لا تكتحل ولا تختضب يعني تستعملش
number four is not to use any makeup for the eyes or for the any coloring or any sort of makeup
التي تضع يعني على الشفاء أو على الوجه أو على ونحو هذا فهذا أيضا تمتنع منه الأمر الآخر ألا تلبس الثياب التي تكون يعني زينة في نفسها مثلا
number five is not to wear any clothes that
are عادية لكن لم يلزمها الشرع بلون معين من أنواع من ألوان الثياب تلبس يعني أي لون شائف لكن ما تختارش الألوان يعني
clothes that are not clothes of celebrity or clothes of happiness
وصركشة وكذا وأشياء بحيث يكون الثوب يعني مزينة يكون ثوب يعني عادي بدون أن يلزمها الشرع ليس بالضرورة بعض النساء
It's not necessary for the woman to wear black clothes, for example, like the practice that some people do is that they have to wear something black during the morning, in the morning period. That's not necessary as long as the clothes are modest. And they're not like celebrity, like extravagant clothes, and the woman can wear them.
وفاة الزوج إذا كانت محدة بسبب يعني وفاة زوجها، فإنها في أثناء مدة العدة لا تتزوج، برضو تكون ممنوعة من الزواج.
Number six is for a woman if she's mourning her husband, the death of her husband. Then for that woman she cannot get married. During the morning period or the عدة she cannot engage in talks about getting married with anybody but if one insinuates that he wants to marry her or something like that then that is something okay but not to say that
ما المقصود بالتعريض؟ يعني أن يلمح تلميحا يعني يمكن أن يقول الرجل
أو يرسل إليها يرسل إليها يرسل إليها يرسل إليها يرسل إليها يرسل إليها يرسل
إليها مباشرة يعني
but he can say something that implies that he wants to marry her like if he wants to say I am looking for a woman to marry you or something like that. So that's something permissible. So as long as one does not say say something explicitly that he wants to marry that woman, then it is okay to talk about marriage.
يعني يريد أن يتزوجها ولكن يعني يعرض لها بحيث أنها يعني تفهم من هذه الإشارات أنها أنه يعني يريد أن
so even if she understands from those comments that the man means her
يعني ما جاء في قوله تعالى ولا جناح عليكم فيما عرضتم به خطبة النساء أو
أفننتم
في أنفسكم هذا معرض
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that there is no harm on you if you say something implicitly, like if you imply something about marrying some woman. So just implying, just making comments. That implicitly means that one is looking for a woman that. This woman might be the woman in mourning and this thing, then that's okay. As long as one does not say it explicitly.
إذا كانت طلقة رجعية ويمكن لزوجها السابق أن يراجعها اللي هي الطلقة الرجعية الأولى أو الثانية. فهنا لا يجوز لا التصريح ولا التعريض في أثناء مدة العدة.
However, if a woman is in her عدّة
إلى أحكام
divorce. If it is the first or second divorce, second time divorce, then even implying or insinuating that one is looking for a wife is not permissible. So this is what we said applies only in the case of a woman in mourning for the death of her husband. Or a woman after the third, after being divorced the third time, which is when her previous husband cannot.
الزواج هذا إذا كانت يعني الاحتياج من زوجها بس المحدة صفة عامة يعني المحدة قد تكون يعني محدة بسبب وفاة زوجها أو بسبب وفاة أبيها أو أخيها أو كذا. إذا كان محدة بسبب وفاة أبيها أو أخيها ممكن تتزوج لكن إذا كان محدة بسبب وفاة زوجها فلا تتزوج إذا كان لا تبيت خارج البيت
الملابس ما تكونش زينة
الملابس لا تلبس ثيابا فيها زينة ولا تلبس الحلي إذا كان الحلي ومستحضرات التجميل يعني لا تكتحل ولا تخطبي هذه أحكام الإحداث فيقول المؤلف يعني رحمه الله يجوز للمرأة أن تحد على قريبها
ثلاثة أيام
ما لم يمنعها زوجها
What he said that it is permissible for a woman
يجب عليها أن تحد على زوجها
on the death of a near relative
أربعة أشهر
provided that her husband does not object to her doing so
يعني مدة الإحداث إذا كان زوجها هو الذي توفي
It is not permissible for her to mourn for more than 3 days, except in the case of her husband's death, when she is to mourn for 4 months and 10 days, which is a legally prescribed period of waiting for it.
ليس يعني واجبا ولا مستحبا وإنما هو أمر جائز يجوز للمرأة أنها إذا توفي أبوها مثلا تمكث
So the mourning, if the woman wants to mourn someone other than her husband, the death of her husband, then it is permissible. It is not obligatory. If she chooses to do so, then she can mourn for only for 3 days to stay in her house and to not do any of those things that we. Just
وتريد أنها حزينة على وفاة أبيها وتريد يعني ألا تكتحل ولا تتطيب ولا
And if she has a husband, she has to explain to him that this is what she's doing, that she's mourning her, the death of her father, for example, or her brother, or uncle, or aunt, or something like anybody of her relatives, and that she wants to be in mourning for 3 days. And if her husband does not object to that, then she can do so. And this is part of the treatment, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that treat your wife with treat your wives with or live with them.
لكن الإحداث على غير الزوج أكثر من 3 أيام محرم يعني لا يجوز المرأة أن تحد عن غير الزوج أكثر من
on good terms or
طيب في مسألة أخيرة تتعلق يعني بمدة الإحداث لو كانت
so this is part of living with somebody on good terms for her husband for example to
وهي حامل وضعت الحمل قبل مضي 4 أشهر و10 أيام
Now here is another point about the iddah for the woman. The waiting period for a woman, for a pregnant woman, if her husband died, this, then if she gives birth before the 4 months, or the 4 months and 10 days, then that's her iddah. Her iddah would end with her giving birth. So the end of the pregnancy is the iddah for the pregnant woman if her husband dies. So it's not 4 months and 10 days, it's the end of the pregnancy. If the pregnancy ends after 2 weeks, or 2 weeks after that, that means the iddah has ended. Or if the pregnancy continued for 6 months after the death of the husband, that's how long the iddah would
ثم ذهبت سألت فسألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
there's an example actually a woman was pregnant and her husband died and a few days after he died she gave birth so she went and put some nice clothes on and started using some makeup and these things so one of the companions of the man told her that she was still in the wedding period so she went back to her home and changed her clothes and went back and went to the Prophet and asked him, told him about what happened
ولا تلبس ثوبا مصبوغا
she had done
إلا ثوب عصب
previously was
correcting
so that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم approved of what she had done before that companion told her that she was wrong
يعني نوع من الثياب يعني كان هذا النوع هو النوع الذي ليس فيه تطريز ولا نقوش ولا زخرفة وكذا فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تلبس ثوبا مصبوغا إلا ثوب عصب ولا تكتحل ولا تمس فينا ولا تخطبي ولا تمتشط إلا
طهرت
ولا تمتشط
إلا woman should not mourn for any deceased person for more than 3 days except in the case of her husband's death
ولا تمتشط إلا
which she may mourn for a period of 4 months and 10 days Such a woman in mourning is not to wear any brightly colored dress. She may wear only a plain dress. During this period, she should not use any adornment or eye makeup, nor wear any perfume. Nor dye her hands and her feet with henna, nor comb her hair
من الكلية
والمنستريشن بيريود when she may use some
وإنما
cleaning
وجب على الزوجة ذلك
عدة such as perfume etc to get rid of any offensive smell left over from her period.
لأن المقصود يعني الانتشاط اللي هو يعني مبالغ فيه.
Accordingly, يعني when a widow mourns, she must not use any adornment such as jewelry, coffin, silk, perfume, or henna. Her henna dye on her hands and feet. A widow must observe this waiting period in deference to her late husband's memory and to fulfill her obligations toward him. So with this we stop here inshallah and we'll continue next week. Any questions?
Subhanallah wa bihamdika
ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Conclude.